I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. It matters what you say, and there's no need for us wait until the class is half over to decide we believe something good's going on. We want to release faith immediately that we're not wasting our time. The Word of God is having an impact on us, and our spirit is being fed. We're believing the Lord to give utterance and direct things in such a way that we get our daily bread, including our spiritual bread, and that affects our inner man, that affects our faith, and that includes enlightening our minds so that we don't think like the ungodly world, but we think God's thoughts, and we begin to see things like He sees them. That's life-changing. Father, we're so thankful that we have the opportunity to come before You like this and to believe together for direction and utterance and answers and help. Open Your Word to us. Open our eyes and enlighten us and enable us and quicken us with Your truth and Your Spirit. We ask for answers and help today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank You, Lord.
Thank You, Lord.
So are good things happening for us today?
Yes.
Thank You, Lord. Like a good friend of mine used to say, almost every day, I think he'd say, the blessing of the Lord is on me, and favor of the Lord surrounds me, and something good is going to happen for me today.
Amen.
Go ahead and say it out loud. The blessing of the Lord,
the blessing of the Lord
is on me.
Is on me.
The favor of the Lord,
the favor of the Lord
surrounds me.
Surrounds me.
And good things,
and good things
are happening
for me
today. Hallelujah. That's the will of God.
Amen.
He doesn't change. So it's the will of God every day. We have been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. When we say faith, we're talking about faith in God. Well, faith in God comes from hearing what God has said. Faith in an area comes from hearing what God said about that area. So we have been now for, like we said, a number of weeks, going through one after another 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. That's a big statement. But if it's not for everybody, then you can't have faith for it, because how do you know you're one of the ones it's His will? There'll always be that, is it, is it not? We don't know, we're not sure. And the Scripture said in James, you know, if you lack something like wisdom, ask of God. But He said you got to ask in faith, nothing wavering. For a person that wavers, He said, is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. What does that mean? That means you're up and you're down. You're expecting, you're not expecting. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. Maybe He will, maybe He won't. It goes on to say, don't let that person think they will receive anything of the Lord. So wavering doesn't work. Not going to work. You're not in a position to have faith and receive from God as long as you're questioning it, as long as you're not sure. So can you see why we're spending so much time and going reason after reason after reason from the Scriptures? Why? In the effort for you and all of us to be completely persuaded. Mm. Right?
Yes.
Settled.
Yes.
Completely convinced. Fully persuaded, because only then are you actually in a position to have faith. You got to get the questions answered. And the questions about God are answered from the Word of God, from what He said. And so we begin with reason number one was, the Lord is my shepherd. And almost every church going person likes the 23rd Psalm. But what's the rest of that phrase say? The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall
not want. That same word translated wants, translated lack. Same word in the same King James Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Would it be all right to say that?
Yes.
It's Scripture.
Yes.
It's Bible.
Yes.
Go ahead and say it. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not lack.
I shall not lack.
Now, we've gone over this before, but other translations say it like this. The Lord's my shepherd, there's nothing I lack. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord is my shepherd, He gives me everything I need. The Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need. The Lord takes care of me as His sheep. I will not be without any good thing. Another one says, the Lord is my shepherd, I will always have everything I need. Well, always?
Yes.
Do you see where I get this phrase from? I keep talking about. This is not just something I came up with. These are different parts of Scriptures through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, that we should be convinced abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Come on, say it out loud. Abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
Is always
God's will.
God's will.
For us all.
For us all. Now, if you've been with us in any classes, you might say, Brother Keith, I think you've said that probably 25 times.
Yeah,
and I'm going to say it some more. Why? Because knowledge isn't faith. Are y'all awake, class?
Yes.
Knowing something doesn't mean you have faith. Knowledge is of the head. You can have a head full of knowledge and no faith in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is of the heart, for with the heart man believes. And so it's not a matter that you know something or you know about something. You've got to hear it, believe it, receive it, and be established in it. Hallelujah. How can I get there if I'm not there? By me telling you another 25 times, right? Under the anointing. Come on, you see what I'm talking about? After a while, even if you were daydreaming or drifting or whatever, and you come back to faith school and I tell you for the 50th time, hey, abundant provision is
always
God's will
for us all.
Come on, say it again. Abundant provision
is always
God's will every day,
every week,
always
God's will
for me. You know, Jacob said that at the end of his long life. He said, he was praying blessing over his kids and his grandkids, and he said, the God who kept me and fed me my whole life long, keep you.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, is it God's will to keep you,
mm-hmm.
feed you,
yes.
take care of you your whole life long?
Yes.
Well, if you could look at the end like he got to the end and said, hey, God took care of me and fed me my whole life long. If you realize that's how it's going to be and that's how it's going to end up, there'd be no need for you to worry at all from here to there, right? Because he's going to take care of me. I'll be able to say at the end of my life, God took care of me my whole life long. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We went on to reason number 2 and 3 and 4 and through 29 of these. And if you haven't been with us for that, go to faithschool.org and all of these previous lessons are there. No charge, won't cost you anything, no obligation or requirement. Just go and feed on them because we've built one on another. All Scripture agrees. If you think you found something in Scripture that's in disagreement, you just found something you don't understand, because the Scriptures agree. There is no, contradiction of any kind. There is a lot of darkness and lack of understanding on our side. And there have been numerous times that I've read things in the Scripture and I thought, now hold on, it says this over here. And I couldn't reconcile it. And there's sometimes it was 10 years before the Lord helped me, and I thought, oh. Well, there was no disagreement at all. But it was because of my lack of understanding that I couldn't understand how both could be true. But the Bible says, rightly dividing the word of truth. You talk about one thing, and there's one side of it, and you talk about the other side of it, doesn't mean they are in contradiction. And if it's the word of God, it is flawless. Now, not to say every translation is flawless, but the original words that came out of God's mouth that were inspired through his prophets and different ones, they are perfect. Amen. Perfect, without flaw, without any problem whatsoever or disagreement whatsoever. You can trust it. Yes. I said, you can trust it. Yes. You can trust the word of God. Not every translation, but the real word of God. We're down to number 30 in our study this week. Go with me to Acts, the second chapter again. We've been on this for a bit, and we'll stay on it till we get to the next. And we're calling this reason the beginning days of the church. And, of course, the book of Acts describes the beginning days and years of the church. And beginning in Acts 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And then the Holy Spirit came, and they were all filled. If you skip down to the latter part of the chapter, verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. See, the chapter starts off with one place, one accord. And at the end of the chapter, after all things happened, that they didn't then splinter and go their separate ways. They were together, and they had together, and they did things together. Unity in the church is vital, and it is powerful. And it creates the, allows for, I should say, and creates the environment where the Holy Spirit manifests. You know the Scripture talks about that faith works or operates by love. There are many reasons why the New Testament commandment from the head of the church to the church is to love one another as He loves us. Now, one another doesn't refer to the unsaved world. One another refers to your Christian brother, your Christian sister, that we are to love each other in the church, in the body, just like He loves us. He didn't say try to do it. He didn't say do your best. He said do it. And never imagine that you can't, because like we've talked about before, His commands are enablings. Maybe you couldn't do it before He told you to do it, but when He told you to do it, He empowered you to do it. Amen. The very words of the command have the power to enable you to do it. Go ahead, say it out loud, I can.
I can.
Love others.
Like He loves me.
See, when we're born again, Romans says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But then, see, it's up to us whether we yield to that love or we can yield to selfishness. We can yield to the flesh. yielding to the spirit, yielding to the flesh, that's our choice. God won't make us. The enemy can't make us. He can tempt us. But to be carnally minded is death. If you yield to selfishness and you yield to anger and bitterness and all of this stuff, you will be miserable. You can rant and rave and tell people off, and you can, you know, take your stuff and slam the door and leave, and you can do all this stuff. You will not be happy. It will get darker and darker and darker. If you don't forgive, if you hold grudges, all that kind of thing, if you're just out for yourself, and you can be a Christian and act like this. Or you can pray and you can yield to the Spirit and you can be filled with the Spirit and filled with love. Amen. And peace. Yes. And joy. And not make a big deal out of everything and not focus, you know. One of the reasons why people get their feelings hurt so much is because they're just thinking too much about themselves. Mm. Simple. If you're not thinking about how you feel, then you don't get upset about how you might feel. If you're not thinking so much about if people are treating you right or not, then you don't get upset about that because you're not thinking about that. You're focused on something else. One of the sure ways to be miserable is to focus on yourself all the time and think about all the time what I want, what I need, what I don't have, what I can't do. I will make you so unhappy. But if you live to give, if you let God use you as an instrument, as a conduit to, you know, one of the greatest things in the world is to be an answer to prayer.
Yes.
Right? Somebody's praying about something, believing for something, reaching out, looking to God, trusting God for something, and He taps you on the shoulder and sends you. Now that is an honor. Right? Yes. That you are one of God's go-to people.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When He wants something done, and He wants it done now, and somebody that won't argue, that won't delay, He deals with you.
Yes.
And you go, sir, yes, sir. Here we go. And you respond, and you see that you were used of the Lord, and it removed a burden, and it met a need, and it helped somebody get out of bondage, helped somebody get into the next good things of God. There's no satisfaction like that. There's no heart contentment like that. Why? Because that's what we were made to do. And you have a picture here in the beginning days of the church of thousands of people doing this. Now, did they do it all perfectly? Well, you know they didn't. Did they make some mistakes? Sure they did. They're baby Christians for one thing, especially in the early days of the church. And yet, even though you're a baby Christian, you can be much used of God.
Yes.
If you'll just make yourself available and quit thinking about yourself all day and night. So here he says, they that believed were together. Everybody say together.
Together.
And they had all things common. Well, that means together. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, we looked at previous lessons, our 28th and 29th lesson. We called it 28 was seeking first His kingdom. 26 was fulfilling the Great Commission. That's what they're doing. Can you see this? That's what they're doing. Their main focus is not making a living, is not getting to early retirement. Is not, you know, being known in their profession or a success. They are seeking first the kingdom of God. They are together to accomplish the Great Commission and preach and proclaim and send the gospel around the world. And as a result of it, did the Lord add to them all the things they're needing materially? Everybody's need is met. Can you see that?
Yes.
Now, you're not going to see all the needs met if priorities are not right. Mm-hmm. If we're not pooling together to accomplish the Great Commission. If we're not pooling together to preach the gospel and to build the church, seeking His kingdom first. They're doing this. And in the middle of that, that's why you'll see these verses together. They're doing that, and all the needs are met. That's Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Are there other things to seek beside that? The kingdom. Yeah, people are doing it. That's why He said previously in the passage, the Father knows you have need of all these things, talking about food and clothes and place to stay and all that kind of thing. He said, and after these things, Luke said, the nations are seeking. And that's what the whole world is seeking after. And He said, don't do that. That's not for you. You're not to seek that first. You are to seek My kingdom first. Seek the gospel and the kingdom first. Building the church first. Now, you know, so many cases and places, that's just not happening. Their priority, when they get up in the morning, they open their eyes, their priority is making a living. Their priority is accomplishing a certain material goal, financial goal, professional goal. And people think, well, that's life. No, for the believer, that's not supposed to be the main priority. It takes mind renewal, doesn't it? And that's why the Lord said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But this kingdom first focus and orientation is contagious.
Yes.
It's catching. Mm-hmm. You get around some people that's really fired up about it. And if you're real Christian and born again, next thing you know, you're getting fired up about it. And you're like, yeah, I can help too. Yeah, let me get in there. And then you get more people and more people affected, and I almost said infected, by this. It just keeps ballooning and it just keeps multiplying. And that's what happened here in the early days of the church. Look at the fourth chapter and verse 4. Many of them that heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And there were a lot of people got saved in between the 3,000 and the 5,000, so it's easily a church of 10,000 people. Probably a lot more than that. But if you skip down to the end of the chapter, you see a very similar thing. They prayed, verse 31, the house was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Well, there's got to be something that pulled you together if you are unified. There's got to be a focal point. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's not so much that I'm trying to be in agreement with you and you're trying to be in agreement with me. That's not what's going on. It's you want this and I want this. Can you see that? And so if we both want the same thing, what's happening? We're getting closer together. This is exactly what makes for a wonderful marriage. Are y'all awake?
Yes.
This oneness that you're supposed to have in marriage is not one spouse trying to adapt to the other and them trying to adapt to them and them trying to accommodate each other. That's what the world will tell you, but that's not how to accomplish it. No, because then you know, who's right? Who's the best to adapt to? Huh? Is it the same on every day? No. If I'm getting closer to the Lord, and you're getting closer to the Lord, do you see what's happening? Do you see what's happening? We're getting closer together. Why? Because we got the same focal point. We've got the same, you know, like the scripture said, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All of these people, all of these thousands, and we're not trying to accommodate each other's cultures and all of that stuff. And see, that's man's ideas. We have to compromise, and I have to be like you, and you have to be like me. No, I need to be like Jesus, and you need to be like Jesus, right? And if we focus on that, real unity is achievable and sustainable year after year. Come on, can you see this? And so the multitude of them were of one heart and one soul. What was their one heart and one soul focus? What was it, everybody? It was fulfilling the Great Commission. It was heeding the headship of Jesus. Amen. It was preaching the gospel, right? Amen. It was building the church. That was, you know, they weren't splintered in a bunch of different things. They were focused on that. As a result of that, everybody's resources were available to accomplish that. And nobody said that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, or you could say together. Together, together. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Now notice again, in the middle of talking about all the resources available and everybody's needs being met, verse 33 talks about the witness of Jesus being resurrected. Why? That's what brought them together. That's what caused the unity and the focus. Neither was there any among them that lacked. We're not going to see everybody's needs met unless seeking first the kingdom is the priority. And the folk, you can't separate these. And my time's up today. Everybody said out loud, I live by faith.
I live by faith.
I walk by faith.
I walk by faith.
I overcome the world.
I overcome the world.
By faith.
By faith.
I'm strong in faith.
I'm strong in faith.
Giving glory to God.
Giving glory to God.
And we seek first the kingdom.
We seek first the kingdom.
And
all these things
are added to us.
Are added to us.
We'll see you next time in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.